Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Abounding Grace. If you were with us in this very exciting study of Romans 10 the past few days, you know what the Apostle Paul outlines here, something so beautiful that we don't need to go bring Christ to us. We don't have to try to go to attain to the righteousness that we can never produce ourselves. But God has done the unimaginable. Christ is near us in the word that is preached to us. And that's why I am constantly making the pitch on Abounding Grace, go find a church where Christ is preached, because if you're not, your soul is being starved with the greatest message and only message that is able to save. But anyways, what does Paul say here? He says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And yesterday, remember, we outlined, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, what that meant. It's not just signing on a dotted line somewhere. It's not just putting your head down and raising your hand if you're sure. It's so much more. It's believing in the heart. It's a full, sincere devotion and love for Christ as you lay hold of him by faith is the only way of escaping from the wrath to come and receiving the righteousness that God demands to stand in his presence. So it's a whole beautiful picture presented here of how Christ is brought near through preaching and how he's apprehended by faith in the heart as he's believed upon in the heart. But today I want to focus on the second element that Paul draws out here. Notice in verse 10, Paul says, with the heart, this is a verse 10 of Romans 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So the very moment the sinner trusts in Christ, right then, God imputes the righteousness of his son to his account, so that for the sinner, Christ has become the end of the law for his righteousness. There's nothing more that God delights then at that moment to pardon the sinner, and that's the act of justification. When we believe, we are justified. Right then and there are the words, son, forgiven are your sins. Never again is that in question. The sinner is pardoned and now walks in the newness of life as he stands totally acquitted in Christ. Now, Paul moves on from there. He says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What's he speaking of? Well, this is not some sort of second step to salvation. It's not our practice of publicly standing up and professing Christ that is the outward act that saves. He's saying this, when something is genuinely in the heart and believed in the heart, this is the crucial requirement. And confession is the outward expression of what's on the inside. So it bursts out into someone's life. And that's why it's unthinkable that a true believer would not deeply desire to confess Christ in front of God's people. It's in his heart. And it's what is the main vehicle of our bodies that expresses what's in the heart? The tongue. Jesus said this really clearly in Matthew chapter 12, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So in other words, if worldliness fills your heart, then there's never going to be any talk of Christ. If you are a wicked, unrepentant sinner, so it speaks. Christ is absent from the heart, thus it will be in the life. But if you've believed upon him in the heart, and if there is sincere affection for him as your righteousness, how can you not help but speak of him? He's your delight. Notice what Paul says. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 8 says this, "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there's one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are all things, and through whom we live." Paul is saying we're not just confessing him as one Lord among many. This word Lord has everything to do with the Old Testament name of God. We're confessing him as the Lord Jesus, the only true God of our lives, who has been given the name above every name. This confession is that crying out of the mouth that he is my God, and I have come under his lordship as a confessor and follower of him. Look, when I believe, I am forever justified. And what flows from that is not just a one-time profession. Sometimes you hear that, "I made my profession in 1940. I don't have to do it again." Hold on. It's a lifetime and a lifestyle of confessing him. I want to quote to you something very important that I stumbled on by Matthew Mead. Matthew Mead, in his really wonderful book on confessing Christ, The Almost Christian Discovered. And this is what he says. To profess Christ is one thing. To confess Christ is another. Confession is a living testimony for Christ in a time when religion suffers. Profession, now listen to this, my friends. Profession may only be a lifeless formality in a time when religion prospers. To confess Christ is to choose his ways and own them. To profess Christ is to plead for his ways and yet live beside them. To profess Christ is to own him when none deny him. To confess Christ is to plead for him and to suffer for him when others oppose him. You hear the difference? Profession is swimming down the stream. Confession is swimming against the stream. You hear that whole difference there? The Christian confesses Christ in everything he does. That's what makes us different. That's what marks us as believers, because what is on the inside is spilled over into the life. You know, sometimes I will see people, on Sundays, running, jogging, heading off to work, heading off to recreation, heading off to vacation, doing their own things. But I always wonder, and I'm speaking of unbelievers right now, I often wonder what a confession it is when they see the commitment of so many driving to church on Sundays, coming into a church as one people, worshiping the Lord in the earth. That becomes a confession of Christ when it's so ingrained and countercultural, when the natural response is, "I'm going to do my own thing on the Lord's day, tend to my own commitments. You see, you confess him in your life, in the way that you conduct yourself, in your home, in your business, in telling others of the wonderful things Christ has done for you. In your temptations, as you fall before Jesus asking for deliverance. In your trials, as you weep and mourn asking for strength. In your very death. That's not something we hear today, but the old Christian writers used to write on how to die well. William Carey, the great missionary, when he died, gave instructions about his funeral. He said, "When I'm gone, I want nothing at all said about me. Speak about my Savior." How often in funerals do we hear the dead praised? You wonder if heaven will have enough room for them and all the good works they did. It's just a terrible thing and defies the very gospel we proclaim. There's nothing good in any sinner. Anything we have is by grace. There's the bleeding heart for Christ that so believed and displayed itself in confession of our lives. Now, verse 11, I believe he's getting to the very point he's wanted to say throughout the whole book. Listen to this. "For Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is over all." And we know who this Lord is. It's Christ. He is rich to all, Paul says, who call upon him. And here's the beautiful statement. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is so powerful. Here's the heart of God. God's election is not to blame for failure. It's unbelief. And if it's unbelief, then here's the heart of God on the matter. Notice the language. Whoever, no distinction, same Lord over all, to all, on whoever calls. Paul's accenting this. It's as if he's saying, I'm not making this up. This was always God's design. We Gentiles think this Christianity thing was always ours, but it wasn't. We can't get into the mind of the first century Christian saying this. First century Christian hearing in Ephesians 2, aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, no hope and without God in the world. Imagine hearing what Paul says, whomever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It goes hand in hand with confessing. Paul is saying that God is opening up his arms. Whoever will come, Jesus stood out and said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Are you weary for your sin? Jesus is saying, come, believe upon me from the heart. Confess me with the mouth. This is not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles too. Whoever, to all, whoever will call upon him, the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let me ask this today. What fool is there listening who would not come to Christ then? What fool would remain dead in their trespasses and sins and not come? Which one would harden their hearts to a Christ who's been so gracious and holds out his arms in his great tender compassions to weary sinners and says, come to me that you might find life? The sad reality, my friends, is that Jesus said in his day to many who are standing in front of him, you will not come to me that you may find life. So I give the call today, overabounding grace. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever believes in the heart and confesses him with the mouth, you shall be delivered from your sin and eternal death.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or, again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.